If you didn't read the Torah portion this week, it was a double portion. I encourage you to read it. We're not going to cover it right now. But it goes from Leviticus 25 to the end of the book of Leviticus. And it's so powerful. It's about Jubilee. Do you know what Jubilee is? Jubilee is that once in 50 year of freedom. And it's a time when the land is not to be worked agriculturally, so there's no real farming that's done. And it's also a time when land and property that was sold because of financial duress returns to its original owner. And it was also a time when slaves got their freedom again. There were certain cycles. There was a 7-year cycle, and then there was a 50-year cycle as well. That was very important. Now, I just want to give this one thought to you, if I can. When we're reading from the Scriptures, and when we're reading the assigned portions for the Scriptures, it's important to understand that they come in a timely way to us. What that means is there's something in the passages that's applicable to us that we need to take for ourselves right now. Maybe we'll use it for later as well. But whenever you're reading about the things, you might say, well, I don't know why I'm reading about this right now. Or you may do as I have done at different times and said, you know, this is so familiar, I'm not going to get anything new out of it. Have you ever had that experience? You're so aware of a passage that you don't actually expect to get anything by reading it. You just expect to, okay, same old stuff, same old stuff, same old stuff. But the Word of God is active and alive, and when you read it with different eyes, the eyes of faith, you can get something new every time. So as I was reading about Jubilee and I was reading about restoration and redemption, I understood something. God is wanting to do this work among us. And it doesn't mean this is our only chance in 50 years, because we read this passage every year. It means when we do read it, we're supposed to take the thought of it and apply it to our lives. That's why the scripture that goes with it, the Haftorah portions, keep talking about what it means to be blessed by trusting in God and hoping in God. And the scriptures make it very clear that normal people get into trouble. Normal people find themselves in duress. Normal people just trying to get through life find themselves in situations that are real setbacks, and God is watching over normal people when they have setbacks, and He appoints times to bring them out of their setback. Have you had a setback? Nobody here has. Who has ever had a setback? Who's in the middle of a setback, if you don't mind saying? Or who's going through a difficult time where you'd like to get through with the difficulty? Anybody have some difficulties you'd like to be at the end of already? Yeah. And who's just got everything perfect? No problems? Alan, hallelujah, we're going to get close to you. You know, there's a principle that if somebody's being blessed, you want to draw close to them, so that whatever they've got can rub off on you. And that's why you want to have fellowship with people who just received what you are waiting for. So women, if you're wanting to have a baby and you can't, and then you hear about someone else who got pregnant, don't get upset and say, why them and not me? Have fellowship with them and draw close to them and say, wow, you know, me too. So like, here's a pregnant woman right here. We have a pregnant woman in our midst who's soon ready to give birth, right? Are you at that place where you're like feeling the baby in public? No, are you? Yeah. You know, there's a certain time when a woman is near ready, and she begins in public places to like feel her swollen belly, right? Not being a woman, I can only observe it from the outside. But I have observed it many times. And it's usually a sign that the baby is about ready. That's my observation. When women can't stop themselves from doing it. I don't know if you're at that place now. Are you? You're scratching, yeah. Scratching and hoping everything will stretch and go back together later. That's part of life, isn't it? There's this time of conception that's wonderful. And then there's the carrying for 9 months. And then there's a time of real ick, you know, where you've got to bring forth a child. And women in labor, I'm told, scream sometimes. Oh, yeah? How many of you ladies screamed when you were trying to give birth? Uh-huh. How many of you said things that you hope no one recorded? Yeah. Broke your husband's hands. Okay, that's a serious deal. Right. You know, it's an amazing thing, giving birth. Well, in the spirit, sometimes you labor and travail, and it's agonizing to be near you while you're going through your agony. The Bible knows that it's difficult to get through life, and there are times when in your difficulty you feel like you're going to get stuck there. But you won't. And that's why Israel was organized in this very special way, so that someone who found themselves bankrupt or in financial distress or sold themselves even into involuntary servitude, slavery to another to pay their debts, they would not remain there. The law forbids it. The law of God says everybody gets free soon. Everybody. And the law also said that everybody who finds themselves in that kind of slavery is still a human being and still has rights and still has a future and a hope. So you may be in trouble, but you know what? In God's eyes, you've still got a future. You still count. He may look at your wallet and say, there's nothing there, but you still count to Him. So God does not measure the value of a person by their bank account, by their net worth, by their assets. And He, in fact, has a way of giving back. You can get all the way to zero, and then He says, okay, start over again. And that doesn't mean you should be irresponsible in your finances. It means that even if, with all of your best efforts, you find yourself in a terrible situation, God knows you and He knows how to get you back on track, and how to restore you, and how to get you fulfilling His purposes for you. And He will never despise you even when you're downtrodden, and He tells the world and all of Israel, you must treat such people in a special way, because you also were slaves. You also had no freedom. You also were despised by men and rejected by men, and you were valued by God. So I tell you this because you may find yourself in need, and in great need, and you may even think that there's no future for you given how you have such great need, but the Lord knows how to multiply you. The main thing is to continue to position yourself with God, to draw as close as you can to Him, and to let your roots go really deep so that you are taking what I call the deep water of the Lord. That's why I love that Haftorah passage that we read that said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, because he'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters and by the river and extends its roots down to the waters. And all of us in Jacksonville can understand what that's like, because we've got so many trees like that, so many oaks that survive hurricanes and survive droughts and have roots that go through this sand and muck that we call Florida, and they take water no matter whether there's rain or not. The Bible says you can be like one of those trees. How many of you know the big trees around Jacksonville? There's one on San Jose called Big Tree. That's right. Isn't that creative? What shall we call it? I don't know. Big Tree. Okay, on to the next one. There's one downtown. I forget the name of it. Treaty. Isn't that what it's called? Treaty Oak. Thank you very much. Okay, Treaty Oak, because some treaty was signed there. There's one at the Slotkins that's really old, and at the Deckers school, there are some really old ones. And you see these trees, and they thrive even when no one is watering them because their roots go all the way down. You can be a tree like that. You can have roots that go so deep that it doesn't matter what's happening in the environment around you, in the ecological system of the rain and atmosphere, because you're determining your health not by what's happening up here, but the roots, the subterranean, invisible, below ground things. If you want to be a prosperous person in the spirit, let your roots determine your health rather than your branches. That's a good message. So what I like so much about this whole scripture is it gives us hope, and then being prophetic, it gives us a warning. And the second reading, which we find in Leviticus 26, talks about two paths of life, one that is a path of blessing and one that's a path of a curse. And in the blessing, it says you'll have rains in their season, produce in its season, peace in the land. You'll be able to sleep at night. Your storehouses will be full, and you can chase your enemies. And it also says the Lord will walk among you, and he'll break the bars of the yoke of slavery. But then it says there are curses, and there are so many curses, I won't go into all of them, but it describes the cause of the curses. If you walk contrary to me, in Hebrew the word is keri. Can you say that? Keri. And that has two aspects to it. One is defiant. If you're defiant of me, if you know my will and what pleases me, and you do the opposite of it, that's defiance. And the Lord says, if you defy me that way, then your life will be a series of curses. And then the other thing that keri means is accidental or coincidental. If you think everything that happens in your life is an accident or a coincidence and God has no hand in it, it's the same as being defiant of God. And your life will also be tormented, and you'll have a series of cursed events. So the Bible is teaching us that all of life is centered in God, and we can make the best of it. Even when life goes against us, we can make the best of it, and God will restore us. If you need restoration, praise God. You're serving the right God. If you need some things given back to you that you lost, praise God, you can. How many of us can think of something that we lost that we want back? How many of you have property you wish you could get back? And if you can't get that back, something like it, or something better than it. How many of you have investments that went south, not to Florida, but far beyond, and you'd like to get those things back and multiplied? Well, our God is a creative God and a restoring and redemptive God. And when our hearts are right, he knows the time and the right opportunity to give to us what we've lost. So our job is to know God that way and to walk with him and to position ourselves with him so that when it's his time, he can do everything that's necessary for us. That's what we'll close with today. And we read these passages because when we read them, they are timely for us. Let them be timely for you. Don't go home and say, you know, I really should have thought about that Jubilee business. We need to stop right now. Yeah, I know you got something good. Oh, come on up. Okay, come on up. Okay.
I just want to emphasize how true this is, because the only person I called the first, I think, maybe 12 hours that we got home from this trip, she said, I've been thinking about a scripture that I gave you in October of 2004, And I want to read it to you again. And it was Leviticus 25:32. The Levites always have the right to redeem their houses and the Levitical towns which they possess. So the property of the Levites is redeemable. And her point was that the rest of Israel have a year to redeem things. But for the Levites, it's permanent. They always can redeem their property. And this was such an encouragement that I, of course, wrote it down and yelled out to David, and we had a little celebration around it. And then he tells me that that's the passage for this weekend. So I just wanted to make that emphasis, that our friend Kathy was really hearing from the Lord, not only to give this scripture to us almost 3 years ago, but to bring it back to our attention yesterday or day before yesterday, right when it's in the portion. And I think it's an encouragement to all of us, and that we should really treasure this kind of cosmic event from the Lord, that he would arrange things like that.
The alignment.
No coincidence.
That's right. There are no coincidences. When things are working for good, say praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When something happens that's unexpected, you say praise God. This happened. When something happens better than you thought, you can say praise the Lord. I just got to tell one story. Our grandson Jacob, 9 years old, went with us overseas, his first time away from his parents. And to go overseas was a big deal for him. It was his second trip to Budapest, because when he was two, he visited us while we lived there. But he got there, and all of our bags were missing. You know, we got to the Budapest airport, and none of our bags are there. They're lost in Amsterdam somewhere. Well, he didn't really understand the situation, and he thought all of his worldly possessions were gone forever. It was a sad moment for him. And he really tried to be strong, but we got to the hotel, and he understood he had no clothes, and he talked to his father on the phone and just burst into tears, which made his dad say, "Why did I let my son go away like this?" You can understand the torment. Well, a few hours later, our bags show up. And that's when it became clear that Jacob thought everything was lost forever. But it wasn't lost forever. It was just temporarily lost. And because it was temporarily lost, the airline gave each of us on our team $50.
13 people.
13 people. So a bunch of us, I mean, you add it all up, there were 13 of us, $650 we got to do with what we needed, buy toothbrushes or clothes or whatever. And so we actually got a little blessing, and we didn't have to carry our luggage from the airport. They brought it to us. So all things work together for good, but they seem to be one way. In fact, it was another. And God works like that. When you think all hope is lost, and you think, oh no, it's over, you're being like Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And then when God brings you what you don't expect, you know what you should say? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It turned out far better than I mm-hmm. thought. Let's stand for Aaron's blessing. Don't anybody stand by themselves. You know the rules around here. Everybody's got to cluster together. If that's right. Gather together. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yera Adonai p'navelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep watch over you and all of your stuff. And the Lord cause the light of his face to be shining upon you and chasing your enemies away from you. And the Lord be gracious to you so that you get what you don't deserve. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom so that you can sleep at night, so you can get up in the morning expecting a good day and wonderful things from God. In the name of Yeshua we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Amen.